in the Arisa Kodesh, in the Maimer, Hasholem HaPnimi, which says Madrega Shnia. 102? Okay, Madrega Shnia. Page 102. Madrega Shnia, what's the second Madrega of what? The second Madrega of how a person or people respond to a steer in their lives, to contradiction, to conflict, an opposing idea, an opposing way of life. That's what this section of Chochmas HaKodesh is about. And we learned that the first Madrega is called Stira Mukhletes. Rabbi Neir calls Stira Mukhletes, which means Rav Kook says that there is a person who, when he hears the other idea, Ishalelos Asalagamre, he completely outright rejects it. And to him, that other view, that other way of thinking is kilo, doesn't exist, there's no metzius, doesn't have any place at all in reality, metzius at all. It can't be that they're both right, it can't be that there's merit to the other one at all. That's one type of a person, one way of dealing with a stira. Madrega Shnia, let's learn. So Rav Kook says, V'yeshu sh'ayidi stirosa shal hayidiyah ha'achas es ha'shnia, mismatzeros tamtzias shal hayidiyah ha'sura, v'nechnosos besorch hayidiyah ha'niknes ha'ahuva. What that means, very simply, is that, as Rav Avinair explains, that the second madrig is daitihi emes, and daitihi sheker. That my way of thinking is emes, and your way of thinking is sheker. However, here it's already a different madrega, because here, I will be sheker shalcha yesh mispar pirui emes. That in your sheker, in your incorrect, false way of thinking, there are crumbs of truth. There are pirui emes. There is something there. And as Rav Avinair explains, v'ani locham u'mishalvam b'dayti, and I'm able to take, this is really a higher madrega, where the person is able to extract some of the granules of truth that he sees. At least he's open to hearing that, and he's able to extract some of these granules of truth, and to incorporate them and to integrate them into what he understands and believes is the truth. So there's a famous statement from Rabbi Avram ben Harambam who said, "Kabel as ha'emes mimisha amra." Take the truth from whoever says the truth. Accept the truth from whoever is saying the truth. Kabel as ha'emes mimisha amra, meaning that in the opposing ideas, in the different ideologies and so on, in all of them there is some truth, and a more mature, advanced way of thinking, one that is on the road towards shalom pnimi, this deep inner shalom. In that more mature way of thinking, it's more complex, it's more difficult, it's more of a challenge, but instead of rejecting outright, but to take some granules of truth from what you can. So, what's most current now, this Muhammad that we're having, this return to the old milchama that we're having with the Yishmaelim in Eretz Yisrael, to say that there's absolutely nothing at all, there's no tainus at all that any Yishmaelim have who are living in Eretz Yisrael, that would not be the most mature and accurate way to see the truth. To believe in the truth as we know it is, and all of us accept and believe as the truth, but at the same time to recognize that there are some granules of truth in some of the tainus and tvias of, I'm not talking about the leadership of the Ishmaelim, they all need to get killed. I'm talking about the Hamoin Am, that there are certain inyanim, there are certain inyanim there, there are certain tainus and certain tvias. And if people would sit down in a room and would be able to talk, and there would not be those leaders, because they're the big Rishayim. And if it were possible to talk with some people, it would be beneficial to both sides. Not that I believe there could ever be a shalom, but it would be beneficial. But the easiest thing is to say is, no, it's all sheker. The whole thing is sheker. There's no time. It's ridiculous. There's nothing at all. There is something. There is something. It's not much, but there is something. And that's already more difficult to be able to acknowledge that. Or this past year, the whole uprising of this Black Lives Matter, this and again, the leadership, the shirish is ra, mukhlat. But to throw out the entire thing, just like when it comes to feminism or any of these movements, and to say that there isn't something there that needs to be evaluated and to be incorporated and to be integrated into the truth, that would be wrong. That's the easy way out, and that's not coming from a place of greatness. It's coming from a place of smallness to say that no, the whole thing is finished. There's nothing there, absolutely nothing. No, there is something there. There is something there. So this second madrega is already a madrega where there is at least an awareness that there's something in the other opposing view. There are some aspects of Ebbets there. What could I take from that and integrate and to incorporate into the truth? What could I use in the truth? That's already a madrega. That's a madrega. So Rav Kook writes, but this person still feels, my opinion, my mahalach is the correct one, yours is not. Va'oz, Rav Kook's words, va'oz afa pisha mitzada kli nirush adam shadal v'soy se v'soy yidiham v'nogada. So in this second madrega, even though on the outside, mitzada kli, more the external kli, in which this kernel of truth in the opposing view is found, mitzad the external kli, it seems as if you are tearing it down, you are destroying it, you are fighting against it. But be'emes mitzad ha'or ha'pnimi, however, here already, the person is looking, or the people are looking at the tzad, the or mitzad ha'or ha'pnimi. I'm going to talk about this in the next maimer. How does one look at the great Jewish movements of modern history, the big Jewish movements? So one could say that the biggest movements, or the most impactful movements of modern Jewish history. Chassidus and Haskalah, Musar, and Tzionut, Zionism, those are the most impactful movements of modern history. And the Muhammads that have been taking place between the different cover from all the different groups have been on these different madrigas of, is there some truth to each of these movements? Of course there is. The immature, easy thing to do is to reject each of these outright and to say that they're complete sheker. We'll talk about it more in the next moment. But this second madrega is looking for the or pnimi. There's something here, there's some or, the kli I don't like. Look, the kli of feminism is altogether corrupt. The kli of Black Lives Matter is corrupt. The kli of Palestine, all these are, the kelim are filled with corruption and sheker, darkness and so on. But is there an or pnimi that I could find, that I could detect, in these movements, lahavdol from the Jewish movements? Is there something that I could find in these movements? Is there something taka wrong with how women were treated historically, or how blacks were treated historically, and so on? The answer is, of course, there's something wrong with that. Of course, there is. Not what Al Sharpton thinks, but there's something wrong, and what's the or in their taina? Intuitively, when you see so much sheker, all you want to do is to fight against it and to delegitimize it and to throw it out. That's how you feel intuitively. And you can do that in your house also with your wife. If you're talking about that list, with your kids. But this second madrega already requires a certain maturity and a certain intellectual sophistication where a person is able to analyze something and to say, the kli is lotov. But there's an or pnimi here that's something very special. let me see what I could do to extract that. And then not only do I appreciate the Ora Pnimi in that other, but I'm able to incorporate it. I'm able to use from that Or
in my own
life. I'm able to use it in my own life. This is what the second Madrega is about. Mitzad HaKliya Kavanah Mahalach. I'm sorry, yeah, back at Rav Cook's words. Bemis Mitzad Ora Pnimi, Harei Uboina Osa, Umakna Osa La'atzmo. Mitzad Ora Pnimi, not only do you not reject the Ora Pnimi, you develop it. You develop it, Umakna Osa La'atzmo, and you acquire it. You kind it. You acquire it, and you develop it as part of... people do this in business all the time. And people do this in business and in every profession. There could be some opposing or competing a company or individual, whatever it might be, and you're very, very much against them for a number of reasons. Nevertheless, there is something that you can learn, that you could benefit from what that other company is doing, what that other professional is doing. So on the whole, you're against the methods that are being used by that company or by that person. But if you're able to take out from the Ora Pnimi, you could develop it and then incorporate it into your own company. There are people that, for instance, you have now. There are people who are giving drushes and saying divrei Torah and so on, and they're studying a lot of the non-Jewish sources, You have all these inspirational speakers, for instance. It's a very popular thing. They're famous inspirational speakers. They go around the whole country, and they fill up stadiums. Some of them are even religious, not Jewish. And they're filling up stadiums, and they have most of the things that they're saying. A lot of what they're saying is shaker, and it's coming from the side of the Sidrachra. But there are people who are very, very good at reading these books or listening to some of these speeches, and the next thing you know, they're like major darshanim, you know. You put in a pasuk and a chazal a little bit. You look up something. You find a pasuk. You find a chazal. The next thing you know, you're invited to speak in a hotel or something. So it's a. I'm not saying that by way of criticism. It's just it's another way of either rejecting everything outright or being able to see that there's an or pnimi. There's something there. Being able to use that in the world of Kedusha. That's a very basic yesod in Chassidus, to use that in Kedusha. So he explains to Rabbi Viner, Mitzad HaKli, HaKavon L'Mahalach HaHofaas HaYidiyos, Ani Machzik Es HaYidiyos Shili V'Soser Es HaYidiyos Shalcha. As far as the official idea or ideology, as far as the Kli is concerned, I reject. I completely reject the other side. I completely reject it. Tanis ha'adam madrega zuhi ani soyset varecha. So the approach of this person, the second madrega, the first madrega is just complete rejection. The second madrega is ani soyset varecha. I disagree. I reject. Ulam yesh misbar dvar mesha ani mucham lekabel mucha. However, there are some of the things that you've said or some of the ideas that I'm prepared to be mekabel. The overall kli is sheker. But there are nekudas of truth. L'maise b'pol, atoin kach makabel as daita shel hazulas. L'maise, that means that Reuven is makabel. Even though mitzad the kli looks like an outright rejection, but mitzad the or, he's makabel. Reuven is makabel shem. He's not throwing him out. Heos v'das hazulas, chodra l'tark daito, because Shimon's way of thinking has been able to make its way into Reuven's mind and heart. B'midah mesuyamis, to some degree. Rav Kook continues, it's the same thing when it comes to ideas, with emotions, with imagination. That through this second madrega of being able to find the nekudas taivas, not only in others, in the ideas of others, but emotions, and dreams, and imagination, and so on. Shaydiya knuyas shoeves my ideas hamunugados hanirchos, where the idea that you've acquired in your life is now able to draw from the ideas that are opposed to your idea, that are the antithesis, the opposite of your idea, but you're able to draw, to be shoev from those ideos hamunugados that have been rejected. And through that, Rav Kook says, Mishracheves idea b'chodo. This brings to an expansion of thinking, an expansive way of thinking. Mishracheves hadea b'chlal. You realize, of course, that what Rav Kook is writing was rejected by 95% of it. The irony, of course, is that everything that he's writing here was rejected by the Olam in Yerushalayim. There are very, very few. Even among his admirers who knew what he was talking about at the time, and from his detractors, there was outright war against these kind of things. Because there can't be any truth at all. In the Yediha Acheres. So Rav Kook says that through this is Mishrachavus Adeh Bechlol. Brings to Hisrachavus Adas. It makes you into a greater person. And not only that, it builds your own idea. It builds your own concept. Kol Yediha Nasas Yoyser Ashira. In this way, all of the ideas become wealthier, richer. Chamusha Ba'isha Shal Hayediyos Acheres. They're armed now with those pieces of the opposing idea, which gives strength and energy to your idea, to your way of thinking. So that's the second madrega. Now, how can it get better than that? That sounds pretty good, no? That sounds pretty good. That's a high madrega. So madrega shlishis. We're still not talking about sholem pnimi. This is still a sholem that has birurim. In such a way where the kli is rejected and the ur is extracted. Well, what's madrega shlishis? Sholem pnimi. Uba hamatzav l'day harum hayoisa gadol. This could lead. Now, the second mahalach is on the right track, and this could lead to hamatzav l'day harum hayoisa gadol, to the highest level. Harum, like the word shravimus. Ramamus, to the highest, most exalted level. Shu oimek, he was talking about Mashiach Tzayim. Shu oimek ha-shalom b'shichlulo, which is the depths of shalom, of shalom b'shichlulo, in its absolute and perfected development. Ad shekol ha-yidiyas, what's that? Kol ha-yidiyas ha-hargoshas v'hatsiyom oimdim b'tzura organis v'chativa m'shuchlolo. This is where all ideas, emotions, and siurim, again, imagination, all of these omdim b'tzura organis, they are now all integrated in an organic way. The chativa meshuchlala, in one chativa means one unit, a new and developed chativa. Shekol chelik mashlim so chelik Hashem. For each chelik is mashlim the other chelik. Here we're already talking where you recognize that there's a chisaron. In the second madrega, it wasn't that. In the second madrega, what we learned a minute ago, there was, no, I have the complete truth. This is sheker. And my truth can be embellished or developed, could be upgraded with some of the nekudas of the other guy, or the other ideology. Here's something else. Here there's already a hakara that the emes is that I can't live without the other one. That's already a different kind of marriage. I can't live with it. I'm a chaser. Some chazal say called shor below isha. Whoever doesn't have a wife is shor below this, below tayv, below yachayim, below it. It means that, like the Zohar says, that the husband and wife are plagufa. It's half and half, two halves. It's a chesaron. I'm a chaser. And the only shleimus that I could have is by being together with the other. This is already a different madrig altogether. Shekol yidias hagoshes siyum oimdim mitzur organis v'chativu m'shuchlala. Shekol chelik mashlam is a chelik eshein. Each chelik is mashlam, it completes. I'm incomplete without the other chelik. Shekol chelik mashlam is a chelik eshein. That doesn't mean that the entirety of the other mahalach is is Mashlam you, but it means that deep awareness of ishlaimus, of incompleteness, of chisaron, unless I am able to connect to the other and to draw from the other and so on, to the point that somehow, through all of these coming together, we're able to get back to the shayrish, to the root, which is HaKadosh Baruch, which is Echad, which is one. Now it sounds like something that can be. It's very, very sweet. It's very idealistic. And that's true. And really, that's why I said it's a Mashiach Inyan. In this world, before Mashiach comes, to have such a Madrega, there are situations, there are marriages, there are individual places or whatever, people that could come to such a Madrega. But generally speaking, the world can't be in this until Mashiach comes. Because that's what he brings out from the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ve'ein, well, it's actually two parts of the Pasuk. He just sews them together. Ve'ein peretz, ve'ein sevacha, v'rechovo seyhem. In Kuf Mem Dal, the Pasuk actually says, ein peretz, ve'ein yotzeis, ve'ein sevacha, v'rechovo seyhem. It's a huge bracha. Dovid HaMelech says that the time will come that there are no breaches and no one is falling away. And there's no screaming and crying on our streets. Ain't parrots, ain't yotzeis, ain't sevacha b'rechovosein, ain't sevacha b'rechovosein. We daven for that by Melech HaMalka, by Mitzvah B'Yom Menucha. The Mitzvah Menucha is, there should be a week, but there's not chalila any breaches in the walls of our home, of our community, of Kedusha. Ein yotzeis, ein peretz ve'ein yotzeis. Ve'ein svacha b'rechovosein. So Rabbi Neir explains, organism hu ma'areches. An organism means a ma'areches, a system. A ma'areches. It's a whole system. That's what it means, an organism. Kiyum chalokim shoinim yachtav, asher b'neihem yachasei gomel. Just like in the body, that the human body is you can look at mitzad, every single separate organ and every single part of the body, and there are all kinds of machlokes and nigudim between what one part of the body does, the other part of the body does the opposite. But when you look at it organically, at the body as a whole, as an organism, then each part of the body needs the other part of the body, or else the person is not going to live. It's not going to be able to function. So each part, even though the body is filled with machlokes, Every body is filled. Each body is filled with all kinds of steers and machlokes. but Hashem as well made such a nes. That's the nin of mafli la'asos. Hashem made a pella that all of these opposing views and opinions that are the molecules, the cells, the organs, and so on of our body, that they work organically. Which means, I need you. I need you. I might not agree with you offhand, but. But I understand that without you, ani chaser. I can't. And that if you and I will be together, it'll be something altogether different that either one of us alone could never have accomplished. That's the meaning of Ezek Kenegda. That's the hashlama of a husband and wife. And that's the meaning of ma'areches. Kiyum chalokim shayim yachtev, asher b'neihem yachasei gomel. Kol chelik mekusha la'acher. Here, there's a hiskashus. Not only that I'm drawing and borrowing or stealing ideas. It's not just that. It's not a matter of borrowing ideas or exploiting some opposing company and taking out some of their nekudas taivas and then making it into mine. Here it's already a recognition of chisaron. It's coming from a very deep and true place. And here we're talking about a hiskashus, a kesha. We're talking about a relationship, not the opposing team from which I am able to get some strategies that are helpful. Here we're talking about a team. Here we're talking about mamish. Hiskashus, the same team. Shekol chelik mashlim is a chelik yasheini. That's what it means. Meir kol chelik mekusha la'acher. Each chelik is makusha to the other chelik, and is meyer al ha'acher. And each one illuminates the other chelik, gives light and life to the other chelik. Nizon mi ha'acher, and it is sustained and nourished by the other. And nourishes and nurtures the other. This is the ideal family. And this is the world that will be when Mashiach comes. K'moy beguf ha'adam. Asher kol ha'ivarim k'shurim zeh bezeh. This tefillah of David HaMelech, Ein Peretz ve'ein Yoytzeis ve'ein Tzevachim b'chavaseinu, the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud Zayin Mubeis, but only in the uncensored Gemara. So if you look in the regular Shas, you're not going to see it. But if you look in the new Shas that have the parts that were taken out, and you look inside there, so there the Gemara says, Ein Peretz ve'yoytzeis ve'ein Tzevachim b'chavaseinu, shlehei lonu ben atalmud shemachdiach tavshila b'rabim, that David HaMelech was davening, please, please Hashem, I shouldn't have a child or a student that goes off the derech. Makdiah tavshil b'rav means that he goes out and to choose a different way of life. He leaves. He leaves our fold. Shalihei lono ben atalmud shemakdiah tavshil b'rav kigon yeshu anotzri. You know why it was censored, right? So the Gemara, the uncensored Gemara there in Brach says, for instance, Yeshu Anotzi, I say he's the one who was crucified. So it says him as Kigoin. But there's something very sweet about that Gemara, you understand. Of course it has to be censored because who needs another pogrom? But that's only when you look at it from the outside. But when the Gemara is saying Kigon Yeshu Anotzi, the Gemara is saying is that it hurts us. We're pained by that departure of Oiso Ish. Even though this person of Nazareth has caused so much aggravation and has brought such a churban to Am Yisrael, to the world. Nevertheless, Don Rach was saying, Ein Peretz ve'ein Tzevacha, that we shouldn't have any of our children that go off. He was one of our children. That's what the Gemara is saying. He was one of ours. He was one of our children. And he went off the derech big time. But he's one of our children. He's one of our children. Kigon Yeshu Hanotzi. Now the censors took it out, but what Rav Kook is saying is that this pasuk of Ein Peretz Ve'ein Yotzeis, Ein Peretz, there's no pirtza. I got Ish Ben Paretz. This will be with Mashiach. There's no Peretz. Ein Peretz Ve'ein Yotzeis. Everything will be able to be contained within the kedusha of Am Yisrael, to be contained. Ein Peretz Ve'ein Yotzeis. Now, what that means is that as a result of Yeshu HaNotzri, as a result of that person, the Jewish people were broken. And we're still suffering terribly from that. That caused a terrible pirtza in Am Yisrael. The rise of Christianity that was basing itself upon the teachings or the imagined teachings of Oysa Ha'ish. Of Yeshu. It was the biggest pirtza in history. And there is nothing as different from Yiddishkeit as that world of that was built as the result of Yeshu HaNotzi. Uvachol Zayitz, as you know, the Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Malachim, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's only in the uncensored Rambam, but the Rambam writes that with everything, the Ishmaeli and the Notzri, meaning Muhammad and Yeshu, that through them the world has come closer to the truth, and the world is speaking about Mashiach and about Geula and about God and so on, as opposed to how it was when the paganism was in charge. So what the Rambam is saying is that, of course, that even in those forms of idolatry, Islam is already machlokes. What's the nature of the Avodah Zarah of Christianity is also something that is complicated. But in the sheker of Yishmael and the Notzri, that in the sheker of Islam and Christianity, there are nekudas of truth. Now, Both of those were deviations from Yiddishkeit, rebellions against Yiddishkeit, and And the ultimate future, the ultimate promise of what's going to be Mashiach comes, of Ein Peretz, Ve'ein Yoytzeis, Ve'ein Tzivach, Baruch HaBaseinu, is that whatever truth there is that the nations have stolen from us, have extracted from us, whatever those truths are, all the other sheker is going to disappear. Barisha kulan ka'ashan techla. And at that time, the Garzeivim Keves, the Jewish people are going to be able to live at peace with the nations of the world, and they'll be at peace with us. But not what's called a peace, a ceasefire, where everybody hates each other, and it's just that for the time being, they're waiting for the next opportunity to kill each other. But it means that there's a shalom pnimi, shalom pnimi. Ein yoyseis, ein peres ve'ein yoyseis ve'ein tzivach v'ruchav v'sein. There's no more any crying. There's no longer any breaches. There's no Yeshu Anotzi that's leaving yeshiva and going away and starting a new program. It's not happening anymore. Everything will be integrated into the truth, and then the goyim will know what their place is, and we will know our place, and we will be able to live organically with the rest of the world, not at war, but to be in this place of shalom pnimi, as it is in the body. But historically, Chilukei Deis have caused terrible, terrible Shviras HaKelim. Christianity was the biggest Shviras HaKelim that we ever experienced. Those who started that rebellion were all Jews. Were all Jews who were putting on tefillin and were keeping Shabbos. And that was something that began within us, just like Daskal, just like later on the Enlightenment. They were all Jews like us, and they were all Shomer Mitzvos. And so it was with Zionism. Secular Zionism didn't begin in a secular way. Zionism didn't start with Herzl. Zionism began with Havasin, Havas Yerushalayim, and the Hesiris to come back to Eretz Yisrael. It began with Kiddush. But what happens is that instead of, like Chazal say, instead of us being doicha with one hand and being makarev with the other hand, right? Small doicha, yamin makarevis. The intuitive reaction or response to things that are different is to be doicha b'shtei yadayim. Therefore, Chazal understood also, even though Rav Kook had such trouble for talking this way, but could Yoshka, could Oso Ish Jesus, could the situation have been handled differently? Chazal understood that later on, in hindsight, that it could have been handled differently. And had it been handled differently, we could have had an unbelievably charismatic, great person who would have added a huge amount to the tzura of Am Yisrael. Because according to that view, that's the individual who the Gemara is talking about, there were certain behaviors that were picked up in Oso Ish. He was doing things that a yeshiva bachur should not do. And he was studying by great people. And he was doing some things. He had certain books. And he had certain relationships that were not on the up and up. And Chazal later on understood that he should have been dealt with a small doicha, with the left hand gently pushing away the wrong things that he was doing, but with the yamin mekarevis, with the right arm drawing near, and we could have saved ourselves a lot of aggravation, and Mashiach would have come a long time ago. And so it is it's the same thing with the Haskalah, with Zionism, and it's the same thing with all of these tznuot, these great movements. I'm not calling Christianity, that was a kilkel of everything that's holy, and Islam and so on, but the rejection, when you're living in that place, in that time, we have to be careful not to be even judgmental of those who rejected Rav Kook, because if you or I would have lived in Yerushalayim in 1920, we might have been part of that chevra as well. It's a lot easier for us to look back and to say, you didn't see what Rav Kook is talking about. They were smart people. It's very, very hard when you're in the milchama, when you're in this milchama, and you feel that your entire way of life is being threatened, and you feel that this is going to destroy everything you work so hard to build. It's very hard to be in this madrega. It's very, very hard. And sometimes even if you try and you reach out, the other side rejects you. So you get a patch and pun for trying, you get a patch. So you have to be very careful not to judge history in a harsh way. You see, this is one of the, among many other things, this is one of the very bizarre and sick things that's going on with counterculture that we're living in right now. This is all a chiddush. We're like, you're knocking down a statue of some guy that was some hero from, 1875 or something. You're knocking down his statue. Because why? Because it's racism. That guy wasn't a racist. Or he was a racist, but he's only a racist by how we look back in history and we evaluate him from the perspective of 2021. But B'Shas Maisa, like, seriously, Thomas Jefferson's a bad guy? Thomas Jefferson was a bad guy. He wasn't a bad guy. He was a Baltaiva. He was a Mushkas. But he wasn't a bad guy. And did he contribute to the progress of democracy and of the world? He was a murdered person. He was a great person. But now already shine Thomas Jefferson is nice. Thomas Jefferson, just like Dr. Seuss, as I heard. You heard that? Dr. Seuss, I thought it was Gavaldi, Dr. Seuss. I mean, I remember even as a kid sitting in the dentist. Well, if this was the only thing that I liked about going to the dentist one day. I had some good books from Dr. Seuss over there. He's already showing, I don't know what they found in Dr. I don't know what he did in the books there. They look like they're funny, nice books. I don't know. But there's something there in Dr. Seuss that the woke, they found, they latched on to. Sorry, puzzle. So what's happening is that things that were not in any way controversial, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, now being reevaluated from the perspective of 2021, and they're being, not only are they being eliminated, but they're being incriminated. They're being reevaluated as like Vishayim. Like, as Thomas Jefferson had a slave, he was a Russian. At that time, to have a slave wasn't the riches. It was a chiddush to fight against that. And Abraham Lincoln was a gewaldic mechadesh, and the people that were part of that were mechadesh something was very good and was progress. But does that mean that if you owned a slave in 1750, that you were a Russia if you owned a slave? The biggest slave owners were in Africa. They're the biggest slave owners in Africa and in the Arabian Peninsula. They were the biggest slave owners. The biggest slave owners. The biggest. You want to say Rishon and how they treated their slaves? They didn't treat their slaves like Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson had children with his slaves, you understand? He got along with his slaves. he was best friends with his slaves. He didn't torture his slaves. Not that I ever heard about or ever read about. Maybe I never heard that he was. But if you look back into the history, nobody goes there. But if you go to the history of Africa. Yeah, Africa, where they came from, and how they were treated in Africa, how they were treated. So now Thomas Jefferson's statue on all campuses, whatever it is, all these things have to already be thrown down. He is a Russia. All of them are Russia. So not only is there machloikis now, but you have to now make a machloikis, but there wasn't a machloikis. You have to rewrite things to make a new machloikis. Akadekach. That's what counterculture is all about. Is to look at the past from the perspective and to be angry about the past. There's enough to be angry about right now. But these people are such rishon that, and they're such hypocrites that instead of taking care of their own kids, instead of taking care of their own schools, instead of being decent and healthy and normal human being that are good citizens who love their own country, now they have to also not. It's not enough that they hate the country and now. They also have to hate the country the way that it was. So ad kedekach, they came up with a new idea of how American history came to be. The New York Times, there was something, what was it called, 1619. I don't know exactly what that is, but they're trying to reinterpret that American history began with slavery, with the introduction of slavery. Is that America? If that was America, none of you Munavalim would be living here.
Mm-hmm. People forget it was a black president for two terms.
Yeah.
Just recently, like, the country hasn't repaired and made changes.
There's no other place like America in the world. And the level of being an ingrate, of being ungrateful, of being kafui tov. But all of that, you know, these are not people that have me this time, you understand? But the sheker of it, and how to look back and to say 1619, that's when American history began. Ki'ilo, American history, the whole cheftz of America is a cheftz of what? Of racism. That's the whole cheftz of America? No, the cheftz of America is a milchama against racism. That's something that takes a long time. Are there still people that are racist? Yes, there are people that are racist. It's something which is bad. Racism is terrible. But America is a milchama against racism. And these people, to serve their own purposes, because the people that are the leaders. My daughter told me that some lady that's the biggest mouth in Black Lives Matter, that she bought a house in a gated neighborhood someplace, I don't know, California, somewhere. She has an all-white neighborhood, a gated house. This lady became rich off of the chevra from Black Lives Matter. She became rich, the biggest machshefa from them. I don't know her name. She became rich, and she built a gated, in a gated white community, she built a house. And it's amazing to me. The rest of the oilam, they're like, that doesn't bother them. They should ride over there. Not to knock down Macy's. Why don't they ride over there? Go to her house and break down her house. You liar. You're such a phony. Here you're saying that the Black Lives Matter. You don't want to live with us. You don't want to live in East New York. You don't want to live in downtown Washington. You want to live over there someplace, some nice neighborhood, with all the best I mentioned. That's where you want to live. It's the shekin. But it's all this. It all comes from this machloik, is this breaking up of the past, not just of the present. It's a remarkable thing. So chiluk adayas, machloikas, have brought the world to terrible, terrible, terrible tzibrach and kai. And Rav Kook is talking here about what the Nevi'im were talking about, what the Navi Yishai was talking about, what the Navi Hesheya and Amos, what the Nevi'im were talking about, and what's going to be when Mashiach comes. In this world, before Mashiach comes, on a large scale, to have such a thing, it's not Shaykh. So Rav Kook ends in such a deep and remarkable, beautiful way. Ashrayam Shakar Halo. It's always comforting because finally some words that you recognize. Not that we really know what these words mean either, honestly. But at least, you know, finally some regular, normal Lashon HaKodesh. Ashrayam Shakar Chaloi, Ashrayam Shashem Alokav. Now, you always have to ask, why does Rav Kook, like, what is it about that pasuk? He knew Tanakh, and he used Tanakh the way that you and I are able to use, you know, a switch on the light. That's how he knew how to use a pasuk. He had all of Tanakh, everything. He had all of Tosh B'Sav Tosh Olka by his fingertips. So when he used a pasuk, he wasn't just saying, this is a pasuk that I'm familiar with. You know, like the guys that write the Nigunim, you know what I'm saying? There are only so many psukim, you know. I don't know what these guys are doing. Like, they have to look through Tanakh, they're looking for a pasuk, because they know a few psukim from davening, and then all the songs are from, most of the songs are from davening. Every now and then you get somebody that he did some kind of a Google search for something, and he has a niggun with some other words. Otherwise, they're taken from the siddur. So Rav Kook didn't have that problem. He didn't have any handicap, you know, when it came to psukim. He knew all the psukim. So when he ends, he will often do that, as we all know. He will often end the Torah that he's saying with a pasuk. Or the couple of words from Chazal. See, here it's with the one that we know more than any other. Ashrayam Shakar Chaloi, Ashrayam Shashem Lokav. Ashrayam Shakar Chaloi, Ashrayam Shashem Lokav. So we have to ask, why does he end with those words? Ashrei ha'am ha'yodei la'akiris adon ha'olam. Fortunate is the nation that is able to recognize the master of the world. Ashrei ha'am ha'yodei la'akiris adon ha'olam. The echad. The shorish, the root. Melech Shah Shalom Shalom. the king of peace. All peace. Peace can only be when it returns to Adon Ha'olam, Melech Sha'asholam Shalom. That was an allusion to Shlomo HaMelech, Melech Sha'asholam Shalom. Umeirov Oneg Ahava, and from the deep and great delight of love, Sharhu Ashir Yedidus, Ahava Betanugin. This nation, the Jewish people, are able to sing the song of friendship, love, and delight. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. That's how he ends. On this alone, you write a whole sefer. But Rav Kook ends this Torah with Ashrei and with Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. So first of all, why do you think Ashrei Ham Shekachalo, Ashrei Ham Shehashem Elokav? Shehashem Elokav. I think the simplest thing, just because Hashem and Elokim, those two names are diametrically opposed to each other. Shehashem Elokav. Hashem, the name Yud Kevavke means love. Elokim means chesed. Elokim means din, means strictness and judgment. Ashrei Ham Shehashem Elokav. So first of all, fortunate is the Jewish people, Shehashem Elokav, that we serve Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokeinu. Even though we see, in the way that Hashem is with the world, we see such opposites. We see, it would look as the ancient world, and in different ways the modern world also, they could not come up with the possibility of there being one God who seems to have such opposing moods. So because of that, they had to come up with a whole minion of different gods, or two gods, good and evil. It couldn't be that the same God that brought Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to the world is the same God that made such an inyan that happened in Meron. It can't be the same God. Ashrei Ham Shekachalo, Ashrei Ham Shehashem Elokav. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The two most opposite things in the world are good and evil, Atayv and Ra, as Din and Chesed. Ashrei Ham Shekachalo, Ashrei Ham Shehashem Elokav. That's the most obvious. Hashem Ashrei Ham Shehashem Elokav. Fortunate are the Jewish people who know that only from one God can there come forth such thing as chesed din, man, woman, toiv and ra. Only from that one indivisible root of Hashem can there be such a thing. Ashrei Ham Shekachalo, Ashrei Ham Shehashem Elokav. Ashrei Ham Yedei Lahakiris Adon Hilo Melech Shalom Shalom Yerav Oynig, the song of Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. So Rav Avinir writes, Shir Hashirim Hu Ashir Ha'Ahdusi HaGol. Shir Hashirim is the ultimate song of everything coming together in peace, of this highest madrega of Shalom. And that's what a song is. The song with the high notes and the low notes makes into one beautiful song. Every song, every real song. Every beautiful song, or the beauty of a song, is dependent upon the shalom hapnimi of the song. How much shalom there is in the song. That's really what makes a song beautiful. It's not a beautiful song if it's just one basic chord, or very little changes that, you know, in the notes. It's not much of a song. Which is nowadays, if you listen to the Jewish music, it's hard to make a distinction between one song and the other. It's almost impossible to. It's all with very little height and very little depth and very little is nice. It's a compliment when I say that. It doesn't have the music. Is not music. It's, but when you hear something, it's be'emes, be'emes. When you listen like to the Alter Rebbe's Nigun, Melech Shalom Shalom. It has the highest notes and the lowest notes. All that a person can be and all that a person shouldn't be. And everything in between. And somehow, that niggun makes peace out of those high notes and those low notes. That's a niggun. That's really the most beautiful song. The most beautiful song is a song of all songs. It's a song that includes all songs. That's Shir HaShir. It's a Shona Rabbah Seinu. So he brings Rashi. Shona Rabbah Seinu kol Shlomo Amurim b'Shir HaShir is Kodesh. Now whenever it says Shlomo and Shir HaShir, it's hinting to Hashem. Melech Shalom Shalom, because Hashem is the Melech, the King of Peace. Shir shu al kol hashir ma shenem al kadosh baruch hu meis adoso v'amo knesses yisrael. All of the songs. This is the ultimate song that his nation, the Jewish people, have composed for him, to him, the shir hashir. Amar Rabbi Akiva.
Is the cook also emphasizing the first half of that Hashem shekach alay, that the first has to be part of this whole Torah is the seeking of him in the other side, and then Ashriyam Hashem Alekav, the emergence of Hashem Alekav after there's the seeking of him.
So the seeking you're saying is in Shekachalo.
The Kachalo of the other side, and then that's the emergence of the Hashem Alekav, and that's...
Beautiful. Okay, so the Svarim HaKadoshim, they speak about those two words, Kachalo, Shekachalo. And that itself means it means seeing the other. Shekachalo. That's why the tzaddikim said that if somebody says something that bothers you, you should say kacha. Like they even say in Eretz Yisrael, kacha. Don't get all for hits to bed. Kacha. So that through the kachalo, and the Akash Baruch himself is like that. That he's soivel hakol. He's Sovel HaKol, and he's Noise HaKol, that Hashem carries all opposites in his Sovel HaKol, and Kachalo, and that's, and Hashem himself gives his approval or his recognition of the other. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And what does Kacha mean in itself in English?
How do they translate it in English? How does they say it in English? Kachalo.
I think that it's some sort of seeking, some sort of yearning.
Why?
So, because is this Torah about the fact that there's a seeking somehow in the other side of him, meaning truth?
Shekachalo. It's definitely a remnant like that. The English says what?
Whose lot is thus?
Whose lot is thus? Whose portion? Whose lot? That's the simple pshat. But there's definitely a remnant like that. Right. There's definitely to be able to see that in the other. Shekachalo. That's a beautiful remez. So Amar Rabbi Akiva. L'hoi Yerlum Kedai Ki Yom Shnitim L'Sher Hashim. The whole world wasn't worth, the whole creation of the world wasn't worth the day that Shir Hashim was revealed. Shekol Ksuvim Kodesh V'Shir Hashim Kodesh Kedoshim. Because all of the other songs that have been composed, all other songs are Kodesh. But only Shir Hashim is Kodesh Kedoshim. Now, we spoke about this a lot because Rav Cook has a big tire on this. But the Indian of Kodesh Kedoshim, you know, the biggest place, the spot on earth, the place on earth of the greatest machlokes is the Evan Shasiyas, the Harabayas, right? It's the biggest machlokes. Because in that spot, the two most opposing forces in creation are at peace. What are the two most opposing forces? Shamayim and Aretz, heaven and earth. Because at that point of Kodesh Kedoshim, that's where they meet, heaven and earth. Now, heaven and earth like this, it's like, Mamish Bala Plukta, Bala Machlaikis. Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Aretz Nosel Vnei Adam. Heaven and earth are the Shamayim and Aretz. And there are many people who feel Hashem is their biggest enemy. That's the biggest machlokes. And Davke, that place of Kodesh Kedoshim, that's where heaven and earth, Nashke had, like the Chazal say, they kiss. Heaven and earth. That's what makes it Kodesh Kedoshim. Heaven and earth merge. There's Sholem between heaven and earth at that place. There's Sholem. Therefore, the book of Shir HaShirim Rav Kook explains is a book about a chasna kal, about a man and a woman. It's the same sugya. Through that hisnagdus is that Kodesh Kedoshim of of Shalom HaPnimi, whereas Shemayim and Aretz, the chiddush of Yiddishkeit of the Torah is that Shemayim and Aretz are not exclusive one of the other. Heaven and earth, the tachlis of being is nesavich v'lius l'dur b'sachton, v'yevet Hashem ha'asina v'yal Moshe, is the marriage of heaven and earth. That's the tachlis. So Shir Hashem, which is a romantic story, is called Kaddish Kaddashim. It's not just Kaddish. All other songs are Kaddish. But where do you bring in one song heaven and earth together? That's called Shir Hashem. The highest and the lowest notes, that's Shir Hashem. That's marriage. Heaven and earth. Two most opposing things. Amr of Elizabeth and Isaiah, Lamahada, Vadim Lamelos, and Notlo Seachit, and Vendosan Lanacha, Amr the Haitzli, Kafa Karselis, Kafa Karsub, and Kafka Mors and Vesolis, Vesolis, Mitaiki, Gluskaya, Achas Menefis, and Wulakar, Kol Kaf Kolk Sum, Kadish Hashim, Kashkadoshim, Shakuli, Yashamayim, and Kibla Mahuso. So Elizabeth and Isaiah says, a marshal, you go to the baker and you give him all of these ingredients. You give him this amount of flour, and this amount of the grain, and this amount of the spelt, all the different ingredients. And I want you to make from all of these different ingredients, I want you to make the most delicious cake, the most delicious challah, from all these different ingredients. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, that's the side of Shir Hashem. All the ingredients together make the most delicious cake. That's not what they mean by pluralism or the melting pot. It's not to be careful. But all of the ingredients, that's he says. Every single ingredient is kula yirashamayim. Because when all of these ingredients are integrated together organically, when all of them are brought together, so then every single ingredient is lifted up in the whole of that challah, of that cake, and every single part of it, without that part, that cake wouldn't be that cake. That challah wouldn't be that challah without that part. So in answer to the question, how does one reach this madrega of shalom pnimi? Rav Kook ends this story by singing, with a niggun. He says the way, in this world, to come to such a shalom pnimi, Rav Kook knows that it's, he tried hard. And he was beaten for it. He tried so hard, and he was more talented than anybody else, and he tried so hard. Doesn't mean we should give up, but it's not happening before Mashiach comes. But if you want to have what he seems to be saying at the end is a little bit of nechama, a little bit of a tam, a little bit of a relief from it. It's this, say Shir Hashem before Kabbalah Shabbos. A niggun. Close your eyes at the end of a hard day and put the earplugs in and listen to a real niggun. Listen to a shir. Shir Hashem, a real niggun, and that's symbolic of avodah that we need to do, not just to listen to music, but to try to make music in our homes. But making music is a lot harder than listening to it. The people have a very deep appreciation for music, but their homes are filled with discord. It's not a musical house; it's just musical people who live in the house and they're killing each other. But to listen to music is not the same thing as making music. Making good music is what Rav Kook is talking about. Listening to good music is nice, and it's a nechama, and you can get chizik. But making good music, at least in it's not in the whole world, because that has to be only when Mashiach comes, but at least in the Kolof Pachas, at least each one of us in our homes and our personal lives, we can do our best to make good music. And that's chus will be zeich to hear the Shir Chadosh, Al Pdus Nav Sheinu, and the Gula Shalamitis, maybe I'm going to amen.